Hey, welcome back with another episode of Success by Design, the podcast for executive leaders and business builders who knows that success isn't accidental, it is designed. Hey, I'm your host, Tim Madden, CEO and co-founder of Executive Career Upgrades. If you don't know, I help directors, VPs, and executives land jobs they love. And we had another phenomenal week here at Executive Career Upgrades. I believe something like 7 or 8 offers come in, over 50 interviews. So despite what you might see on LinkedIn, the job market out there, right? There's lots of competition, but absolutely, I see every single week, large amounts of people are getting hired. So if you are struggling in a search, don't know where to start, do me a favor. Well, do yourself a favor. Go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. But let's get started with today. I have a special guest for you today, Mr. Travis Kelly. Hey, Travis is a seasoned executive and leadership expert who spent his career helping organizations build these high-performance cultures that actually win, which is actually what we're talking about today, really just a powerful framework called TEAM. Train, execute, assess, and then multiply. So whether you're building sales teams, leadership teams, scaling really any department, this is a conversation you don't want to miss. So Travis, welcome to Success by Design. I'm pumped to have you. Do me a favor, before we dive in into the framework, give us 30, 60 seconds about you, your mission, or anything else you'd like to add.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the introduction here. So Travis, I'm a retired U.S. Army major, 24 years in the Army. A year before I retired, I started a company, Investor Machine. And that company is a 20 million plus company now, just 5 years ago. And that was my entrepreneurial journey. And I applied the exact same frameworks that I learned in the military within business. From there, I went on to an equities company and was able to scale a construction company from 0 to 10 million. And then from there, I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, I think I got it figured out. I finally learned enough about money where I could help organizations, much in the real estate and home service industry. But I got pulled into a technology company where I worked with companies as large as $70 billion and just learned a ton about data. And so people, processes, and systems are what I love. But today's episode is going to be about team and culture. And I think they're one and the same.
Perfect. Well, let's start with the T in team. You've said before that, you know, training just isn't about skills. It's about culture too. So unpack that a little bit.
Right. So, you know, when we try to build a culture, how do we build a culture? Well, culture is a collective thing. It's not an individual thing. But we need to train both individually and collectively to get to the culture that we want. And so training with our team, everything we do is a training event. And so we need to go through that training with people to just sharpen each other. And as we're doing that, we're going to find out what's the strengths and weaknesses of my team. And when your team sees that you're multiplying the best practices, you're lifting up the top performers, and at the same time, you're working on those who aren't as performant as well, you gain something called trust. And you do that within training. And I think trust is the foundation of any good culture.
What do you think about meeting every day? You know, in the military, I'm just asking, because in the military, you know, we have first formation. You have to meet every single day. Here at Exec Upgrades, we've gotten, you know, and other companies that we consult for, sometimes we get pushback saying, why should we meet every day? And the funny part about it, you know, because it's a cultural thing, similarly, a lot of these companies are not doing well, right? Like they're not doing well, they're not meeting. What's your take on a cultural thing of the importance of meeting together as a team every single day?
That's a great question. So I got certified through Empire, Eddie Wilson. I had read a book, EOS, learned about EOS. I was introduced to Eddie Wilson. I've really been all in on the Empire. So it's important to have that every single day. Now, stand up should be no longer than 15 minutes. Yep. Why is it called a stand up? They call it the brick meeting. But that brick meeting, stand up, be engaged. It doesn't need to be long. Here's what I got going on today. Here's what I got that I need some help with. Here's some things that I saw yesterday that I think I want to share with the team for best practices. Next. You and I were both fortunate to serve in U.S. Army Recruiting Command. And so, man, that open and close was critical. Mm-hmm. Right? And when we're leading 50, 60, 80 to 100 people, depending on where we were, you know, I had just over 48, 49, and it went up to 65 by the time I left there. And I had you know, a very large area of operations across six cities. Mm-hmm. And so in Texas, in North Texas. And so guess what? Our meetings were no longer than 15 minutes. This is what my funnel is. This is the obstacles I'm having. Hey, sir, can you sign a couple, you know, documents for me? Mm-hmm. Need to get those up to the MEP station. And that's it. And then if you needed to speak longer than just your five things that you're reporting on, well, hey, can I jump on another call after this? Mm-hmm. You know, stand by and we'll finish that. And we'll fight through those problem sets. So just because you're having a meeting doesn't mean it needs to be this long meeting, but you have to be succinct and clear and let everybody know exactly what is to be spoken about during that meeting and what is not.
Yeah, well, I think it's because what you said structured, you said five things. What's funny is a lot of the people that get resistance don't have a plan for meeting. So if you don't have a plan, let me be clear. You're right. It makes no sense. Uh-huh. A lot of these team meetings that people have are not structured, right? So they don't have, you know, those things. So what are some of your, before we move on to E, what are some of your non-negotiables that you think are important in a high-performing team?
So non-negotiables, you know, I mean, I go back to our meetings since I was 18, it's been beating my head, right? Mm-hmm. If you do anything illegal, unethical, or immoral, I don't care how good you are, whatever it is that you do. Now, we need to have some grace, right? Also, so there's some things that, you know, that we can look at and say, hey, you know, based on this, we can give you another chance. I think it's super important, though, that you let people know that up front, you know, and that's gotta be embedded as part of your culture, but we're not going to, you know, there's so many sayings that we learned in the military, right? But in order to trust people, you have to know that they're going to do the right thing. And it can be as simple as speeding. You know, look, I was with a plumbing HVAC company and a guy crossed the lane just, you know, that he shouldn't have. And he hit a lady that was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Guess what, man? That insurance of all those vehicles in that organization has went up substantially, and they lost $1 million in a lawsuit.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm glad. Well, I know you said moral and unethical. I had a leader tell me that recently. He was like, hey, as long as we're getting results in this area, do you care how I do it? You know, I was like, not really. Just make sure, just like you said, it's moral, it's ethical. But besides that, you know, not a lot.
So you can't think that way. So think about this. How many times do you speed realistically?
Me, never. Of course.
I love the speed. I'll be the first one to tell you, right? Yeah. I've had a few two-seaters, Porsche. I got a Z4 now. I like to drive really, really fast. It's kind of my vice since I left the Army, right? And it's a risk I take. Now, I'm not going to put myself in a position where if I get a speeding ticket, I can't recover it from it. So yeah. I'm not going to go 20 miles over the speed limit. Mm-hmm. I'll go 7 to 8, though, over the speed limit. And I can go from 0 to 45 real fast. As long as I don't go over 45, I'm okay, right? So there's some leeway in there. But guess what? I'm saying that I do that. I haven't got a speeding ticket in 5 years, right?
Guess cop's going to be on you, man. A cop's watching this right now. They know where you live. They're looking up your license plate. And cruise by. All right. You said training's the foundation. Let's talk about execution now. Because, okay. Hey, I know for sure, if you don't have action, culture won't even matter because you won't get anything done. So how do you ensure your team goes from like having the knowledge? Of course, we know that's important. It's most important, how taking action with consistency. So I guess to be more clear too, do you have any systems or disciplines you put in place or?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'll use the last organization I just helped is plumbing and HVAC company. And so when it comes to execution, they've got to know what their schedule is. Think of something simple as list, order, validate, execute. Do I have a list of things that I've got to do? Do I got them ordered by what's going to make me money and what's not going to make me money? Have I validated that in fact is the case? And then I need to go execute it. I need to do that over and over and over and over again. So we got our technicians deployed in the field, you know, our plumbing, our HVAC technicians, they have a supporting staff or a dispatcher mm-hmm. in the background they can speak to. Hey, I saw a new appointment popped up. That appointment is to go change a toilet. This one's for a clogged drain. Well, a clogged drain is going to lose us money, you know, unless we find, you know, second, third order issues that we can fix. But changing the toilet, we're guaranteed to make X. We need to drive for the dollars. Can you reschedule that clogged drain appointment and send me to, you know, that toilet appointment? Again, that's just list, order, validate, execute over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, most people don't have those accountability steps, which is why people struggle. They don't have, you know, a formula as you've shared, you know. And if you don't, it's funny when people aren't following things and don't have a plan and they're not getting results and they're confused as why. So I always ask people, you know, it's funny, this happens a lot, like, what's your plan? And they don't have one. And I'm like, do you think that that might be, you know, why you're struggling? Because back to the HVAC, I know we're talking about HVAC companies now, because I have friends that own lots of different companies and sometimes they're struggling, right? You know, whether it's a recruiting company or an HVAC company. And I always just sit back and say, hey, listen, there is a company out there right now that is probably doing $500 million, that is a large company that owns market share in every single city. They have figured it out, right? So this isn't like some impossible task. It's just you obviously aren't doing certain things, which is increasing the enterprise value. And I think a lot of business owners struggle with that too, or leaders. Because here's the thing with the leader. If you start an HVAC company, you were an HVAC guy, probably.
Yeah.
And then now you have to learn people, culture, training, things that you've never been trained before. So that's why people like you exist, probably.
That's exactly right. Right. I mean, you know, you have the journalists and specialists for a reason, and they complement one another. And so you can't, you know, one organization can't exist with all journalists, and one organization can't survive with all specialists. So you got to have that combination. You both need each other. Once you recognize that, iron sharpens iron, right? Just creating a good training plan and then executing it, right?
Yep. Mia said, how do you create a contagious culture? I want to answer my finish on this, and then we'll move to the next one. I really feel like no one takes a really, and again, we're special because we were in the military. We did lots of push-ups with core values. We knew what the core values were. We'd done thousands of push-ups to it, but we're extremely bought into the mission of what we're doing, why we're doing it. And, you know, most of us would sacrifice our life as well. Just the belief in what you're doing is just extremely higher. Sometimes it's difficult to replicate that into corporate America, you know, of getting people bought into the mission. But to me, his question, how do you create a contagious culture? If you can't get people bought in to what you're doing now, where you're trying to go and the people you're trying to help, it's probably impossible. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, great question, Mia. I would flip it on you. So what is it that attracts you to a particular organization? Mm-hmm. Right? So for me, most importantly is trust. You can go into a room and you can see how the team is when they're together, mm-hmm. when they're not together, right? So I think it's important to assess that, especially when we're going through the interview process. I want to know, I'm interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing me. And I want to see what your response is. And with all the social media platforms we have, you can search all these people that are interviewing you. Mm-hmm. You can skip trace information. You can find all the information you want on people, right? Mm-hmm. And then reach out to people who've worked with them before and ask those people about those particular people that you've interviewed with. So I think that making it contagious, you want to find a way to make it fun. You have to know that people are going to have ups and downs. 100% looks different every single day, right? How do you build each other up? How do you trust each other? And again, I think you don't find out if you're on a good team until you go through bad things.
Yeah.
And so you have to recognize that. And it's in those tough moments that you learn a lot about people. And you make it contagious by always lifting them back up, letting them know it's going to be okay, and then reinvesting time back into them, which is going right back into training.
You know, besides sales, and most companies besides sales, one of the most overstepped looks and or steps is really assessment. It's easy to KPI sales because we know revenue, et cetera. Sometimes for creative people or operational people, it's hard to assess, right? Let's talk about the AN team now. How do you assess performance without making your people feel like they're constantly under a microscope?
That's a great question. So I think we're under a microscope like we never have before. And Christopher, I saw your comment. 100%, brother. Always have an agenda where you're just going to meet together and everybody's going to wonder why you didn't just send out an email. And so going back to what Tim said here. I'm sorry, Tim, what'd you say again, brother? I just went completely blank for a second.
No, it's okay. We were talking about assessing. How do you make people, you know, how do you tell people we're a company that is in continuous improvement, but they don't feel like they're under a microscope all the time?
Absolutely. You know, we're in a time, right? I have dashboards for everything, mm-hmm. and you're seeing real-time streaming analytics. Mm-hmm. Everything, right? And you're being measured against everything. Guess what? It doesn't read people. This person's not performing well. Well, their wife just got diagnosed with cancer. Right. And so, you know, when we talk about, we talked about a ton in the military, art and science, then it became leadership, art and science. The science is in the data, right? And the calculations and the math and everything that goes with it. The science is putting a picture up of what people are or are not doing. And then the leadership is the assessment part. Okay. The data says this, but it doesn't know what's going on with Travis Kelly right now. Right. The picture shows this, that's true, but right now we've had 8 days of rain, and so we're unable to perform this particular task that was going to pay us. So that environmental factor wasn't there. So we assess people, you know, Tim, we had the counseling statement. And so I remember when I would counsel my soldiers, you know, monthly and quarterly. In the beginning, everybody starts from the front. As I got in about 10 years, you know, and took my first command, I started from the back. What do I owe you? What are you going to do to get better? Now let's talk about what's happened. Instead of talking about what's happened, how are you going to get better, and what do I owe you? I wanted to show my soldiers, hey, I'm committed to you. We both know what the data says. We both know what the data doesn't say. But I'm investing in you as a person, and I'm willing to do these things right now to make sure you get better. Now, by me saying that up front, do you know how easy it was for them to tell me their plan of action? Like, hey, you know what? I had a plan of action, but now that you've told me that, I'll be honest, sir, I really need help with this, this, and this. I just can't figure this out. It changes the whole conversation. You know, as leaders, we know, and I think we're at that point now with real-time analytics. Everybody knows where everybody stands. Sam, we got to open and close report every morning as a commander, right? Mm-hmm. We know exactly where we sit every day. We got to think about it. But so what? That's what the data says. What are we going to do about it? And how are we going to help one another get beyond where we currently stand, whether we're doing good or bad?
Yeah. And I like the last one, which is multiply of team, the M. One of the things, we have a leadership and development program here that I learned from my mentor, Brandon Dawson, who's just a phenomenal guy. He says, framework is also from John Maxwell. It's me, we, us, but it's mainly, you know, how do we get ourselves right? Because if we can't get ourselves right, how could we possibly multiply that into other people, right? So the M's for multiply, because you have stated most companies stop at performance, but when we're really talking about legacy. So what does it really mean to multiply, and how do you do that intentionally?
Absolutely. So, you know, we've got to be lifelong learners. And so, you know, in the military, we go to school before we go to our next assignment. We're given 100
really
books,
lucky.
All these things, right?
Leadership training, job training, yeah. Increased skills. You don't get that in corporate America. When you're promoted,
right?
Like,
but guess
luck.
What? But guess what? It's just like school. The books were written 3 years ago. You just studied it for a year. You get to your unit and they say, hey, we don't do it that way here. Here's our SOP. And you're like, oh man, that's completely different, but that's way better. And so when you're truly trying to multiply your best practices, yeah, you've got a foundation of training. You know, and I think the military's got it right. They said that your training gave you 60% of the answer, but execution is king. And that 60% will completely be rewritten before you go to your next assignment, right? So you have people who are executing that at a high level. And you're assessing your people. As you're executing and assessing your people, and you continue to study your craft, You're only getting better. You're coming up with better courses of action and you're being vulnerable. Hey, you know what? Travis is not good at this thing, but man, I was going through an assessment with Tim, and to be honest, he could do way more for me than I could do for him. So this next training class that we have, there's no reason for me to teach this class. I need to have Tim teach that class because he's going to sharpen everybody better than I am. So going through this continuous improvement, continuous development cycle, what the Army calls it, and then the Army is just TEA, T-E-A, I added the M, and I know General McChrystal has the Team of Teams framework. It really makes sense and it works, but you have to be willing to put it in the calendar. You have to go through this, right? And okay. So whatever
I love John Maxwell, he says leaders develop daily, not in a day, you know?
Yeah, you know,
everyday reminder to. Yeah, I don't know why people struggle with that. It took me a long time to really say, if you want life to be easier, if you want corporate America, if you want business, if you want leadership, if you want these things, look, you need knowledge and then you need to follow it up with action, right? So you need to get the knowledge and then you need to apply it. And if you do that over time, your life is going to drastically change.
I agree 100%, man. Yeah, I picked up my book here. You mentioned John Maxwell a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a leader's heart on my book. My mother gave it to me when I graduated OCS in 2010, and I still look at it today. Yeah, so there's just so much goodness in it. But at the end of the day, you know, going through this, we're going to go, you know, we're still all humans. We're going to go through good things. We're going to go through bad things. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have COVID. We're going to, like, all these things, right, that we have absolutely no control of. But at the end of the day, the more that we collaborate, the more understanding we have with one another, the more we're assessing each other. And, you know, my pastor of all people, he told me, Travis, love is spelled T-I-M-E. The more time you pour into people, the better that relationship will come. Yep. And that individual relationship will become collective. And collectively, you will have a stronger culture if you go through the team framework. Mm-hmm.
So we both know leadership isn't always clean. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes we mess things up. What's one piece of advice as we're starting to wrap up? I have a couple questions for you, though. But one is, what's one piece of advice you have from a director, VP, or an executive to build a high-performance culture right now? What would it be if you were giving someone one piece of advice?
Oh, that's a great question. So one piece of advice that I would say is stay together. There's too many silos, knock down silos, right? And really bring the team together at least once a week to make sure that everybody's on the same page. You know, we talked a lot about this team framework. I'm a big fan of who, not how as well. And I say that because, you know, you have the how, here's your playbook, but somehow you've always got these people that are doing it significantly better than others. That's the guy you have multiply, not what the book says, not what the policy says. Those things are just drafts forever, and they're constantly getting refined. But people actually doing it can refine it quicker. So by you having that time together and you spending time with these A players, you're going to learn the best practices. You're going to gain continuity amongst your team, and you're going to be able to develop those young leaders that are you know, because I believe everybody's going to become a leader at some point. You've got to invest that time. So just coming together, really breaking bread together and talking about obstacles and letting everybody have input.
Yeah. Jason, love this. Can't talk about this enough. It's funny. Leaders will like talk bad about their people, blame their people, Jason. And what's crazy, it's like you're responsible for them. You know, that's why I love Jocko Willink. One of my favorite books is Extreme Ownership, because he says there's no bad teams, only bad leaders. And he tells just a phenomenal story in his book about that. But yeah, hey, we have to, the more right we are with ourselves, the better we're taking care of ourselves. And just, I'm not just mean working out or physically, I mean like mentally. And yeah, so many things I could talk about. This is a whole podcast episode. But what, Travis, I got a couple rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Rapid fire. Here we go. What's the best leadership book you've ever read personally?
Best leadership book I've ever read. I've been reading Leader's Heart by John Maxwell every day for almost 15 years. And because he put scripture with it. So me, I'm a very aggressive guy. Been a fighter my whole life, 62 months in combat. I'm the weird guy that loved that. And I would go again if the Army would take me. But guess what? I don't have it all figured out. And so, you know, to be a true leader, just as Jason Butler put in there, I'm my own biggest battle. Mm-hmm. Right? So once I know myself first.
You versus you every day. A lot of people realize they think they're competing with other people. And like, absolutely. No, you're just competing with yourself yesterday.
That's right. So we have to do self-audit. And, you know, me, what I learned was as a young sergeant, right? It was everybody else's fault. I was the man.
Yeah.
You know, by the time I became a sergeant.
I told them to do it, right? I told them.
I gave them everything to be successful.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I didn't understand was everybody doesn't think like you. Yeah. Everybody doesn't understand, you know, things the way you do or see things the way you do. And just because you did it well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? How well can you lead your team? So Jason's exactly right. I mean, I just spent some time with Eric Lopez and Tim. He was the 3rd Brigade commander for USAREC Marauders, right? And he actually gave a course on this. And it was, how do you understand generations before you and after you to be a good leader? And he got into like how we are impacted by all the horror movies that came out in Generation X and how it impacted how we raise our Gen Z kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so it really does come back to just knowing ourselves well. Thanks for that, Jason.
What's one habit every leader should build?
Discipline.
Okay. What's the one?
Doing it even when you don't want to. I don't want to wake up. I've been waking up at 4:45, you know, since I was 18. Now, I'll be honest. I woke up at 6:30 today. You know, but you know what? And I didn't really want to get up. My wife told me, oh, no, we got to go walk the dogs, right? So having a good battle buddy, too, or accountability partner like I do with my wife. Yeah. You cannot beat discipline. I don't care if you're the smartest or you're the strongest guy. The most disciplined guy always wins. And I've just seen it over and over and over again.
Yep. Consistency.
Yeah.
What do you think is one leadership behavior that just really kills culture?
Oh, boy. There's a lot on that. One behavior. Well, it's got to be ego, right? Back to what Jason said again. If it's all about you, guess what, man? You don't got a team. Like, you will destroy a culture. If you're the guy that always takes credit for everything, nobody will want to be around you.
Yeah. Travis, this has been great. Before we wrap up, hey, where can our listeners learn more about you, your work, and the framework?
Yeah, you can learn about me on LinkedIn. I spend more time there than anywhere else. I do have a website, warroomoperations.com. You can schedule a call with me anytime. I spend a lot of time in the real estate.
Time?
Warroomoperations.com.
Warroomoperations.com. Got it.
Yeah. And I spend a lot of time in the real estate, home services, and technology space.
Perfect. Well, leaders, remember this. High-performing teams do not happen by accident. They are designed, they are built, they are trained, they execute, they're assessed. And when done right, they multiply. Right. So huge thanks to Travis for joining us today. And if you found value in today's episode, hey, do me a favor, go subscribe on Spotify or Apple. Leave us a review. We appreciate it. This is the Success by Design podcast. And before I go, I believe Udo had in the chat. We're going to get to that one. He said, we're going to wrap up this. What approach do you ensure team members are compatible? The best one I love for this is football player coach from Alabama. And he says this, your job, right? And we're going to close with this. Your job is to figure out when you go into a new department as that new leader is who needs to remain on the bus, who needs to get off the bus, and who might need to shift spots, Udo, right? And you're not going to know that until you're there, until you learn what their goals are, what they're doing at the company, what do they want to do? So there's many different approaches. But first, it's just making sure you have the right team. And most people don't because they don't take the time to actually do that. So until next week, everyone, have a great day.